Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Road Productions. Welcome to the URN radio show. I'm the Mouth from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me is Jeff the Butcher and Martin.
Shut up.
Mr. Awesome. So, yeah. How's everybody going? Doing?
I'm having a great day because Texans won today.
Yeah.
2-0 for the fourth year in a row.
And still no Super Bowl.
That's okay. As long as my team is competitive, I'm happy.
Well, good.
Fans of this other team in Texas, I don't demand Super Bowl year in and year out because I'm actually realistic and have intelligence.
Well, I was realistic. I knew that they weren't going to win today, and that was the realism of it. That's how they do. They play good against hard teams and teams that are kind of under the radar. They play like crap against, and that's always been their MO. So I'm not pissed. I pretty much expected it.
The Chiefs are pretty good this year.
Yeah, I'll give them that, but at the same time, that's just the way
they're
works.
2-0 and the Giants are 0-2.
Giants are 0-2, Washington's 0-2, Dallas and Philly are tied for first at 1-1, so. There you go.
By the way,
I don't know where my parents found this out, but they were telling me at dinner that, they had heard that there's several states out there that are going to outlaw paranormal teams that charge.
Huh.
How can you do that?
I don't know, but that's what they had heard on the news. I don't know where, but there's states out there that want to prevent paranormal teams from charging people, which I think is a great idea because it's not a proven science, so how can you charge for something like that?
I don't think that these teams should be charging, but I don't think you should be able to legislate that type of behavior. Because if I got a product and it's not an illegal product and somebody wants it, I should be able to make money off of it if I choose to.
This is true. This is like what happened in New York that one time when they tried to ban all mediums, and they found out that you were charging for mediumship, they would shut you down. It only lasted for a few months, and then it got repealed, something like that, and they're back up and at it again. I mean, you can't prove this kind of science, but If a fool is willing to part with their money, then it's free enterprise, man.
I mean, if we're going to legislate what people can and can't sell, then McDonald's is the first to shut down.
Right? Well, they're one of those companies that are too big to fail. I'm pretty sure if they were to go bankrupt, we'd bail them out.
Yeah,
so
they probably
go chicken nuggets.
And now you got the Mighty Wings.
Yeah. Also, I read today that Texas actually enacted laws that prevent civilians from flying drones, but actually loosens the grip on police officers from using drones.
Well, damn, I'm going to put my drone back up.
Who has that personal technology in their home? That's what I want to know.
But check this out. Like, Jeremy made a drone. He made a drone. It's just a little, you know, a little flying object that has a camera on it. Think of how many of those little stupid toy helicopters that have cameras on them. It's now harder. Like, if you get caught using it on private property and it's not your private property, you can actually go to jail for it. But cops are allowed to fly over any area that they want without active use of a warrant. They can actually justify a warrant on the spot if they consider it to be probable cause.
Well, that's always been the case, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, a cop really can't search your car. If you tell a cop that you don't want your car searched, he can't search it. I mean, he can say probable cause, but he has to define exactly what that probable cause is, you know?
But then he can just make you wait there for a warrant, which could take hours.
Yeah. Well, see, they're actually able to provide a warrant on the spot now.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Outlaw, are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yep.
They are really delaying an NFL football game for rain.
No, it's not rain. They're having lightning.
I don't care. They make millions and millions of dollars. They can get out there and play.
In the lightning?
I mean,
yeah. You don't see the fans even. They got more metal exposed than the players do. I'm done
with
this.
Throwing,
turn it off.
They're not throwing steel balls around.
I'm done. Game off. I hate this league so much. I hate it.
Okay. Do you remember playing baseball when you were younger, Jeff?
Yeah.
Did you ever stop for lighting? Because I know we didn't.
Nope. When we were playing with aluminum bats.
Exactly. You get struck by lightning, your parents are like, walk it off.
Yep.
Quit smoking.
Oh, God.
But they do that so that the fans have an opportunity to leave their seats and go take cover out of the lightning. And they did pay hundreds of dollars to watch the game, so they're not going to continue playing and put people in danger.
This is true.
There's not enough shelter for the fans.
It's not the fact that the football players may be in danger in those big ass stadiums, but the fans are. And of course, that's you see a lot of the on TV right now. A lot of the fans are going back underneath the stands out of the weather because of the lightning. So
there is not enough room. There is not enough shelter in that stadium for all 70-some-odd thousand people there.
Well, I'm just telling you from being a coach back in high school, you know, we had a lightning detector. And when lightning got too close, that was it. We had to shut it down. And, you know, even during a high school football game, we've had to delay it. And there's fans sitting up higher than the football stadium, you know, in metal seats. So. Yeah,
you can
they want to sit out there. That's their problem. But we delay the game and give them an opportunity to take cover.
I'd like to take this opportunity to make a public service announcement about selling on Craigslist. did y'all read any of my posts about it this weekend? Okay, so I bought a lot of videography equipment to help film and stuff. And now that I'm not going to use it anymore, I was like, oh, I'll sell some of it off to have some extra cash, you know? So I put a Rode video mic for sale on Craigslist, and that, like, I want to say probably the next day some guy text messages me, and he was like, hey, I want to buy this, but are you willing to drive to, let's just say 30 minutes from your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, no problem. I was like, he wasn't trying to hassle me for how much I was selling it for or nothing like that. So I was like, yeah, I have no problem with that. So I drove 30 minutes out of my way. I get over to this Starbucks, this dude meets me out there, and then he looks at the mic for a little bit, and he's like, you know what? I decided I'm not gonna take it, which I was okay with that. I was like, you know, if you don't want it, you don't want it. I'm not gonna sit here and force you to buy it, right? But then he goes, so how do you feel about God, man? I was like, whoa. I was like, hold up, man. I was like, you know, did this dude really make me drive 30 minutes out of my way to spread the gospel? Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care about the people's beliefs or anything like that. That's no problem. But don't make me drive 30 minutes out of my way to hear about it. You know what I mean? So that happened this week. I was like, really? This dude made me leave the house, made me drive 30 minutes away, and then he was like, so how do you feel about Jesus in heaven, man? So I was kind of like, wow. These
really?
Guys are getting a little brave. Yeah, they're getting a little brave, man. They're not even knocking on your door anymore.
Wow.
That price, because he didn't have any intent on buying it.
Exactly. And I even texted him beforehand. I was like, don't forget to bring your camera so you can test it out on your camera, right? And then we get there. I should have knew something was up when we get there. And he's like, oh, man, I didn't bring my camera, but let me check it out. And then he just puts it down, and then he goes, does his whole Jesus spiel, which I was like, man, it was crazy, dude. I've never experienced that in my life. Usually when somebody wants to do that to you, they'll catch you at, you know, an awkward time,
mm-hmm.
like, and they don't ask you to leave your home, you know. They'll just wait for
right.
you to be like, you know, in line at Walmart, and they're like, hey, how do you feel about Jesus? I'm like, I just want my groceries taken care of. And then, yeah, I was like, so if you sell on Craigslist, beware, be weary of people like that. Don't, I guess what the point of the moral of the story is, don't agree to drive more than you're willing to, because it could end up in a situation like that.
Especially when they don't say anything to you about the price.
Exactly.
Wow.
And faith in humanity has been lost again.
Pretty much, man. Pretty much. Oh, you should have seen his face, though, man. Like, you know, he asked me how I felt about, you know, how I felt about God, and I just told him, I was like, you know, that's actually a hard question for me to answer, because I've been in the paranormal field for X amount of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not once have I ever got an EVP that relates to the subject. They actually don't even talk about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, a higher power is out there. And he was trying to avoid my answer. And he was like, well, how do you feel about heaven? And then I was like, again, man, I can't even answer this for you, because as a man, I was raised to be a consumer. Like, I'm, as a man and as a person, as a human, I'm all, you know, we're wired to always want more, to always consume, to always want the bigger, better now. So if that's the case, and heaven is everything you say it is, and I'm going to have everything I ever needed in heaven, eventually that newness would wear off, and I would want more than what I got. So my heaven would become my own hell. So as an actual person, I can't even fathom that concept. That guy's like, what?
Right.
Pretty sure he went home and put his head on ice. But.
Before our guest calls in tonight, Sharon Coyle, she is the owner of Rolling Hills Asylum. And she was on Terrify Radio last week with myself and Jody, and we had a great conversation about her facility, and got a lot of history there, guys, and
nice.
A lot of activity, and so we're going to talk about Rolling Hills tonight.
But, you know, that actually brings me to another point about paranormal, and I know there's a lot of people that will say, no way, but really deep down, we all want to see somebody get thrown down a hallway. You know what I mean? How cool would it be to have you?
I'll experience it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, like, I want to see, like, I want to be, like, at Waverly Hills and then, you know, have to talk to the cops next morning and be like, yeah, we were on the fourth floor and some unknown force threw him off the fourth floor. That's how haunted this building is.
Oh, no, I don't want to see that. That'd be terrible.
I mean, I don't want to see that, but...
Eventually, I'll put out the video from when that happened to me. I'm still sitting on it. I haven't put it out on the YouTube yet.
Man, I can tell you now, that way you can brace yourself before you put it on YouTube. And here's the first three comments. First comment, fake. Second comment, oh, that's completely fake. Third comment,
yep.
This is the worst video ever.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's normal comments. So
yep.
As long as you can brace yourself for that, you'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, you could post a picture of making a paper plane, right? And the first comment is always fake. Like, really? I mean, how am I going to fake making a paper plane?
I made a paper plane at work this weekend, and I wrote on the wings, Sterl Force 1.
Nice.
When
did
I'm
it get
president,
to its destination?
Yes, it did.
Jeff, I do believe we have a guest on hold.
Oh, we do? Well, hold on.
Sterl Force 1.
That's right. When I'm president, that's what I'm changing the name of the plane to. And, well, I thought I pushed the button. Hold on. There we go. Hello.
Hello. This is Sharon from Rolling Hope.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Good. I'm not sure who I'm speaking to. Is it Jeff or is it Martin or is it Outlaw? I don't know who I'm talking to.
This is Martin.
Hi.
And I'm Jeff.
Hi.
The smart one. And Outlaw's the
can
one
that's
down. Can
you hear me okay?
What's that?
Can you all hear me all right?
Yeah.
So sometimes my phone cuts in and out, so let me know.
That's actually a big problem for anybody in the paranormal.
Yeah.
I've noticed that everybody that's an investigator has problems with their phone, including me. My phone likes to set itself back an hour for some odd reason.
That's weird.
Mine just goes away. In the middle of a conversation, it'll just go away. It's gone.
Well, for folks out there that are not really familiar with Rolling Hills, what's the history on the place? A little brief history on it.
Well, we used to be an old county poorhouse for well over 115 years, and then we added on a county infirmary. And that was in the 1930s. And then in the 1950s, early 60s, we became a nursing home. And then they closed down in the 70s, and then we had, several private ownerships before me. And way in the beginning, the land it was Native American land, and in the 1700s, there was even a stagecoach stop and a tavern out here before the poorhouse opened up in 1827. So there's 300 years of history here.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. And what I find interesting, Sharon, is you did paranormal investigating prior to purchasing this property and gone to several, locations, and now you own one of them.
I know. It's pretty crazy how things work out.
Yeah. That's, in a way, I said this last week. In a way, that's a lot of our, being a paranormal investigator, that's our dream is to have a facility. But there's a lot of work going into having a place like that.
Yeah. It's not what everyone thinks it is. It's not what it's up today. Not that I don't love owning Rolling Hills, I do, but it's not what people think. It's a constant uphill battle. It's a very old building that was never maintained properly, and every time you turn around, there's something wrong. It's very expensive to own a property like this, just with mortgages and the insurances and electrical bills, let alone trying to get a footing and get a handle on some of the repairs. People think, oh, you get to investigate all you want. yeah, I'm in the building a lot doesn't mean I have time to investigate. Or even if I do, I don't have time to review audio hardly at all. So my investigation time cut way down. I now rely mainly on personal experiences because I don't have time to do the work behind it, you know?
That's a valid point that a lot of investigators don't get. I mean, I've noticed that some investigators are like, oh, I would never go here because they charge way too much. But what they don't see on the back end is that, you know, taxes have to be paid. You know, insurance has to be taken care of. Upkeeping on especially a big place like Rolling Hills, you know, that stuff isn't cheap at all. I mean, you could have a water leak and it turn into multi-$1,000 situation real quick, you know?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's really tough. And owning this property is really the equivalent of 3 full-time jobs. And even though I have a lot of wonderful volunteers and I couldn't do a lot of the stuff I do without them, it really is all, you know, only me when it comes down to it. It's me, it's my property. And so, you know, doing everything, all the website and the marketing and, you know, all the chores and things of that sort, I mean, there's no time to get a regular 9-to-5 job and be able to do all this too. And so I don't have insurance. I don't have a steady paycheck. You know, I mean, everything that comes in barely covers Rolling Hills. So on
right.
the personal side, I have nothing. And, you know,
wow.
It's just the way it is. And I'm not trying to make people feel bad, but I mean, everyone thinks that all these people that own these haunted locations are living large and going to the Keys in the winter. And what I'm doing is I'm holding my breath so I can make it through winter to spring, you know.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not what people think. I had this, a little conversation with Jody at one point last week where, you know, we were kind of talking about this kind of same stuff, but it's really difficult because a lot of the teams out there have this attitude where, well, we're not going to go to already established locations and have haunted, you know, paranormal, you know, activity. We want to go in and help people in their homes, and that's it. Well, that's very altruistic. I think it's fantastic. People want to, you know, do home investigations. I used to do that too. But what they're missing the boat on is, A, by supporting not just Rolling Hills, but other historical properties, they're saving a piece of history, and they're going into a place that has guaranteed activity where they're able to test out theories, test out equipment, train their new investigators, all before you walk into a regular person's house that needs help. And if they don't train their people first, in a place where you actually have guaranteed activity, you know, it's like you're opening up a whole can of worms by bringing someone in who's never done it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I have the solution to any kind to like financial problems for places like this.
Yeah, just come to adopt me?
No, you just charge the ghost rent.
Yeah, no, I wish I could, but, you know, honestly, it's their house. They'd be charging me rent.
Now, the name's not on the lease anymore. So if they're not hanging out there, they got to pay rent.
Yeah, but it's still their house, and they do some work. And they actually...
Or make them go over the audio. There you go.
Yeah,
they were charged for public appearances.
I know. I can't talk. God, this one person emailed me a long time ago, and I get things like this periodically. Very excited, you know, never investing before. Can't come, looking forward to their trip. Hoping, boy, do you think I can get Roy Stanton to take a picture with them? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll call Roy right out. Snap my fingers. Hey, Roy, stand beside me for a minute. Guy wants to take a picture. Can you put on your best smile? You know, I mean, come on, really? They'll stand right up for you, you know.
I'm going to put on a paranormal conference, and all the speakers are going to be ghosts.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to charge people like $300 for a ticket. Like $450 for the VIP, so you can get there first and get the front row seats to see the ghost.
How close is East Bethany to let's say, Mohegan Lake. Or,
I don't even know where that is. I don't know where Mohegan Lake is. I don't get out of here.
Westchester County, you know where that is?
Hell no.
Are you north or south of New York?
What state are you talking about? I'm not joking. I don't read here. I don't get out of here. I really don't know. We're 45 minutes from Rochester and 45 minutes from Buffalo. We're right back in the middle.
Oh, okay. So you're far north of New York.
Oh, yeah, from New York City? We're about 6-8 hours.
Wow.
6 hours, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I stayed at Mohegan Lake for a little bit, which is, I want to say, like 30 minutes outside the city. And I just realized that Rolling Hills was in New York. I was like, man, I would have been one of those places I would have loved to have gone while I was in New York.
Yeah, I get people that drive in eight hours regularly. Actually, I had a group this weekend. This was their trip out here. And they came out for a private hunt on Friday night and then stayed again for the public hunt on Saturday night. And they were from New Hampshire and Vermont. And I get a lot of people from, like, Michigan and Ohio and Florida and North Carolina. And, yeah, they drive in from everywhere.
Nice.
Canada.
I mean, from a photographer standpoint, this place looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm looking at photos of it all. You know, online, there's some pretty cool stuff in here. Like, I don't know, like, for me, like, you know, I'm a photographer by trade, but I love like that look of abandoned buildings for some odd reason. And it's so much fun to do, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I appreciate the beauty in old places, old crackly, crumbling places. Mine isn't like that, but you know.
Yeah. There's some cool pictures online, that's for sure.
Well, when my friend's a photographer, the wedding that we had out here this summer, and I did all the wedding photos for the wedding and after the wedding in the building. And so when I can get those up online, once he sends me that, it's going to be really, it's blown away. Unbelievable.
Nice.
Stuff.
Nice.
So.
Now, you mentioned earlier a spirit by the name of Roy. What are some of the predominant spirits that, you know, that y'all have named or have actually said their name, you know, in evidence?
Well, the names that we get are the names that they give us. So we don't, like, name our spirits. We don't know their name. We don't call them by their name because, you know, they're not going to answer us anyways, you know. It's like someone calling me Susan. I'm not going to answer that. Who the hell's Susan? Roy Krause, he's our 7.5-foot shadow man. He's the most popular. He's literally a gentle giant. I know it sounds like a cliche, but he really is. He's a sweetheart. He's huge. Huge, huge, huge. He's very prominent. He kind of oversees the whole place. We have George Fleming, who was actually the superintendent and caretaker during the latter half of the four farm years into the infirmary years. And then we have Nurse Emma, and she had kind of a rough reputation, but it really isn't unfounded. She's just kind of overworked, understaffed. She's German, old world, old school, proper, so she's kind of serious. So people misunderstood her for a lot of years. We have Aunt Maud, who's the head cook. She's kind of like a Ma Kettle kind of woman. A little boy named Jack, who looks like runs around with bare feet, and he's really fun. She says "Boo" out loud. Always scares me if he does that. Anyway, there's just so many. We get new names all the time. Last night, as a matter of fact, a couple of the people from Vermont, New Hampshire, were down in the butcher shop. And I don't know the butcher's name. I call him Butcher for 3 years now, and I'm not even sure what they got is actually the butcher, but they were down there, and they had two audio recorders running, and they got the name on both of them. They were asked a series of questions, whoever was in the room with them, and loud and clear, when they asked his name, said Ed, clear as a bell, really loud, on both recorders. So that was good. So we'll have to find out if Ed was just another worker there or if he was actually the butcher. So we'll find out, but At least now I have a name for that room to see who was in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that property, you know, probably there was probably many more deaths than what was actually documented.
Yeah, I'm sure there were. Absolutely. Over 300 years of history, there has to be over 1,700 documented deaths. Has to be.
Yeah, exactly. Did they have any great activity this weekend when they were there?
Yeah, and there has been a lot of different things that were happening. Like I said, they were blown away by the clarity of a lot of the EVPs they were getting because they were doing spot checking on the EVPs. Even in our green room, which is our like lounge area for all the investigators, constant activity on the Mel meters, on the Gauss meter. I mean, just constantly hanging on it, going on for like 10, 15 minutes without backing off of it, just out of no provocation at all. We're just hanging out talking, and the thing is just going crazy. Flashlight activity, dowsing rods, they were hearing voices.
Nice.
There was someone there last night. He's a volunteer, and he was bringing a recording that he had gotten the week before in the chapel with a full-on dog barking. And, yeah, I have a dog at my house. But he played it for me. It's like the dog is on top of the recorder, and it's not my dog's voice. It's a loud, big dog, and he's barking right into the recorder. And this was in the chapel. Like, the dog came right over and put his face in the recorder. So that was kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, lots of shadows. I mean, we always have the shadow people and stomping around on Shadow People Hallway. It's this second floor of the building. If you look at the building, it looks like the third floor, but they count the basement as the first floor. The basement is the basement, and then you go to the first floor and the second floor, and that's it. So there's three floors, but they count it as two floors of the basement. And on the top of the shadow hallway is that roof of the building. And when you're in shadow hallway and investigating, if you don't know any better, even though I tell you on the tour that there's nothing above you, forget because the place is so big and they get disoriented, they'll come flying down to the green room and they'll say, you know what, we're having a great time and getting all this activity up in Shadow Hallway, but there's some investigators stomping around upstairs so loud we can't hear anything. You know, can you go tell them to be quiet? And I stand there and I giggle because there's nothing upstairs. It's a flat roof. But that's where the original men's dorm was there, and there were four stories. So they're hearing other people still running around upstairs, but there is not. That happened a lot last night. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, what's one of the most, just out there paranormal theories that you've ever heard? I'm sure you've pretty much heard it all, but, you know, there's some pretty out there theories as far as, you know, what ghosts are made of or what do they do or anything like that.
What's my theory on what a ghost is?
No, I mean, have you heard anything, like, just out there? Like, you're like, no way. You know what I mean? Like,
you're putting me on a huge spot here because people already think I'm the crazy lady that owns the asylum, and if I tell you what I think, I'm really going to be labeled that.
yeah, I mean, because...
I'm kind of hesitant to go down that road right now. I think a lot of the stuff that we deal with, specifically at Rolling Hills and probably in an awful lot of other locations, are probably interdimensional, not just human spirits.
Right, right. See, I've always thought that before. I thought, you know, I don't know, just... I know some people think that they're aliens, and I've heard some crazy stuff from people before, but I was just curious if you ever heard anything crazy, you know?
I might be agreeing with some of those crazy things, so I would rather take the fifth. Thank you.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's kind of, you know, I had a guy one time, a guest on our show that talked about what if we're the actual ghosts in our, you know, and we're, well,
in the other dimension, we're the ghosts, right? In their world. They're living their lives, and we're the ones making noises and whatnot on our side because the dimensions cross each other back and forth.
Yep.
So,
yeah, no, I've heard that too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like when you really start delving into all that, it just makes your brain start hurting for thinking so much. Because,
well, I mean, well, when we're in Shadow Hallway, for instance, I mean, we get shadows and shadow people throughout the building. We get a lot of full-body apparitions throughout the building. But for this conversation, we're in Shadow Hallway, and oftentimes we'll see, like, people down in the infirmary, and they're peeking around the corner, and they're looking at us, or they're peeking in out of doorways. And honestly, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they're seeing us like we're seeing them. Like, whatever that weird dimensional shift is, where we're able to see them, or the atmosphere, or the frequency, of the, or whatever it is, they're probably viewing us in the same kind of grayish,
mm-hmm.
sheer-looking manner.
Yeah.
Go back. Let's go back to, let's take a walk back in time, boys, to Ghost Hunters episode when they were at Mount Washington. Do you remember that episode? They were in
yeah.
the Princess Trail, and they got that EVP where I can't quote it exactly. I'm going to misquote it because I always misquote things. But basically, Grant was asking her, the princess, if she was here. And she said something like, of course I'm here. Where are you? So that she could hear them and he could hear, you know, but she couldn't see them. So, I mean, I think that happens a lot. I think there's that weird interdimensional thing where they're very cognizant. At least in my building, it's not a residual haunt. They're very aware, they're very interactive, they're very cognizant, they respond in intelligent manners, I would say 95% of the time. If you say something
yeah.
and they think it's funny, they're going to mock you and make fun of you and comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave this example on Jody's show last week. We have a classroom set up, and one of my volunteers brought in her mother for her birthday. And there's a little tablet on the school desk, on the teacher's desk, and the volunteer was reading questions out to the mother. You know, she was part of the grader. And the question was, who's Booker T. Washington? And the mother goes, oh, isn't that a peanut farmer? And the answer was really no. He was an educator, blah, 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 blah. And they got an EVP of someone calling the mother going, what an idiot, because she got the answer wrong.
Nice.
So, I mean, I hate questions like this a lot of times. It's not so much on the radio, but when I go through on the tours, because people always ask me, you know, why are they stuck here? And I have to go off on this whole long tangent that are probably over a lot of the investigators that come through over their heads. Because a lot of the people come through that they're first timers, or they come out of curiosity, so they really don't even have any background knowledge on investigating and the spirit world. And I always hesitate because I don't want to cross that line talking about religion, you know, which ends up coming up into the conversation. And
yeah, that always ends in disaster.
Yeah, you know, so I always try to walk that fine line, and it's so hard because you don't want to offend anybody. Well, I can't. I mean, if I was just, you know, if I go into some other location and somebody doesn't know who the hell I am, that's fine. I'll give you my honest opinion. I'm a Scorpio. But, you know, I kind of got to walk that fine line there when I'm the owner, so...
Yeah,
I do have an opinion, but I think it's really interesting. I think that I do realize that they're very cognizant, they're very aware. They seem to be going about a lot of business, you know. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes to why a spirit is in a location, in my experiences in the paranormal, there's multiple reasons. You know, there's not just one particular reason why they're there. You know, it could be multiple different reasons. You know, they could choose to be there. They could have a fond memory of the place if that's where they work. You know, I think people don't realize this too, because I've experienced this as well on an investigation. I think also, in the spirit world, when you're a spirit in that location, possibly, since they're, you know, especially say they're a worker there, in their eyes, on their side, they see the building as it was when they were there. because you, a lot of times you see people talk about spirits that will walk through a wall, and the owner will go, yeah, back in the day before it was remodeled, there was a door there, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think, you know, somehow or another, they see the building the way it was, just like you were talking about earlier about the footsteps up above, you know, on the roof, and there's no floor up there, but there used to be.
Right. I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, I tell you, that's one thing that's cool about the paranormal, and what people don't realize that keeps investigators going is because every time they interact with spirits and in different locations, the spirits do or say or whatever it might be, the EVP, the remarks, or something they move or manipulate equipment, there's always something new that they do that the investigator goes, I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what keeps people going, you know, the rush that gives us, because we're like, okay, now how in the hell did they do that, you know? I thought I had this figured out, and then they did this. Now I'm back to square one in my theories.
That actually happened to me not too long ago. I had a – it's almost like a K2 meter, but it's hand-built, you know. And I was asking if they could set the meter off, because this is the first time I've ever brought it to this location. And it's down in Jefferson, Texas, the Jefferson Hotel. And this meter spikes all the way to the red light and then turns off. Like, it turns off completely. And then I was talking about it. I was like, wow. I was like, I wonder if my batteries died. And then it turned back on. It went all the way to green, or all the way to the yellow lights, and then turned off again. And then, it did that a bunch of times throughout the night. I've just never seen a, you know, K2 meter work that way. So it was pretty crazy.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of instances similar to that. We were filming with a group out of Pennsylvania called Ghost Detectives. They have a show down in Pennsylvania, like the CW and Fox and stuff. So they came up to film an episode at Rolling Hills, and we were going around with them, and they'd have a stationary camera on a tripod shooting down, you know, one of the rooms or one of the hallways, and we'd be in one of the rooms, and we could see the camera. And it would go, it would get shut off. Like, it would just go completely shut off. And then mm-hmm. we'd wait, we wouldn't jump up and check it or anything, because we could tell that it was off. And then all of a sudden, you'd look over and you'd watch the light come back on. It was being turned back on. And that happened in several locations. And it was really good, because I was giggling, you know, because they were like, that's never happened before. A lot of things happened in Rolling Hills that don't happen in other locations. It's kind of. It's crazy, and I know that you're probably saying, oh, she's the owner, she doesn't say that. I'm not just saying that. I've been to a lot of locations, and mm-hmm. I didn't give up, you know, living a mile from the beach in Huntington Beach, California, and gave up my whole lifestyle and my whole life and my husband and a bunch of other things I don't want to get into, to live in the New Pacific North weather in the middle of nowhere of farmland, you know, in one small little dinky room with plywood floors and no kitchen cabinets, because it's a ho-hum, oh, geez, I got a ghost or two. You know, I mean, it's a very exceptional location, and there's a lot of untapped stuff going on here, a lot of things that my volunteers and I see on a regular basis that if we told you, nobody would believe it. So
wow.
A lot of these things people are going to have to experience on their own, because it just, I mean, I watch people's expressions when I'm on the tours, when I take them around and I'm telling them certain things, and I know they're looking at me like, this one's full of crap. She's full of it. She's, you know, talking out her ass. And then they'll go off and they'll come upstairs and they're like, oh my God, we were just down in the morgue and blah, 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 blah. Just like you said. I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, I mean, why tell you things and not have it
like,
true?
Who's full of crap now?
Yeah, well, I mean, why would I do that? Why would I go on a limb and start telling stories like I'm around a campfire when,
right.
You know, it's because all it's going to do is cause people to say, well, that woman's a liar. You know, why would I do that? I'm only going to tell you stuff that's happened numerous times over and over and over again because, you know, this is what you expect. Don't be shocked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So even with ghost detectives, they were halfway through the night, they're walking around, and they got the DVD, and they're stopping, they're listening to it, and they were all excited and blah, blah, blah. And at one point, one of the guys does to me, because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. He goes, Sharon, the whole entire night you've been kind of like nonplussed about all the stuff that's been going on. I'm like, it's just like a slow Friday night for me, you know. You know, it's like, you know, it's okay. This happens all the time. And I know I sound really cocky when I'm saying that, and I don't mean to. It's just,
right.
It's really a very unique place, and I'm very blessed to own this place, as crappy as I'm living. And I just, it's forefront of my mind right now, because I was going through my old house pictures last night, and I'm really feeling house poor, you know. But it's a very amazing location. I'm very blessed. And more investigators from far and wide should really take advantage of this. And if I, you know, if I had any wish, well, I have many wishes. If I had any wish other than, you know, less to have money to be able to fix up the building and maintain the structure of it, of course, and get it all watertight and all that stuff, if I had any other wish that I could have, it would be that we could get a bunch of, you know, equipment and computer equipment and so forth donate to make a full-on paranormal lab out there. Not for me. I don't have time to do it. But have a paranormal lab so when investigators come in, they can download their stuff right away. They can check it out on like, the sound equipment, check it out on the photography program, and then go back out and recreate it right then and there. I don't, you know, if you've got something and, you know, you take a minute and you look at your pictures or you check out your audio, don't wait till you get home, which some of you are hours and, you know, plus away. Do it now while you're in the building. Go and try to recreate it now. Try to debunk your own evidence now while you're in the building.
That'd be awesome.
And that would be my dream. If somebody would just go, you know, whatever happened to that old the ghost lab, whatever happened to their big trailer?
Oh, they actually sold it. Yeah, it was a Craigslist ad that they sold it not too long ago. It's funny that
Jeff. I wouldn't have the money to buy it, but it would have been a nice donation, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that actually would have been a nice donation. They posted on Craigslist, and they sold it off to some random dude who just needed a trailer. Yeah, in all honesty, I wish it would have been kept as a, you know, a ghost trailer or, you know, a lab, per se, but that would have been cool. But, yeah, some
guy
bought it.
Even taking it around to some of these conventions and using it as a training module, you know, to teach people how to use the various types of computer programs. A lot of people have never even heard. I can't even tell you how many people who've born don't even know about Audacity. I mean, it's a basic audio program. And
I get contacted daily on what programs I use for EVP, and I use a Adobe Audition, but I mean that came from, you know, years of just wanting to have a decent program and finally got it. But I mean, it's crazy how people just go buy a recorder and they just think that, you know, that's it. It's like, no, man. I mean, paranormal will rob you blind of money, that's for sure. I mean, anything you want is expensive anyway, but
Yeah, it's true.
By the
audio recorders that you can even download the audio off the recorder into the computer.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, one of my favorite recorders is just like that. It's a little white Olympus recorder, and in order to get audio off of that recorder, I had to plug it into my computer and run Adobe Audition until that file is completed, and then I save it. I mean, it's a big hassle. I mean, I could just, you know, use my other recorders, but for some odd reason, I get most of my results on that little POS.
Wow.
Yeah. You talked about this a couple months ago. You know, there's unfortunately, there's a group down here in Texas that actually charge for investigations, and they actually
have a, you can sign up and pay $200 for a 3-day course on how to capture EVPs. And they guarantee you at the end of 3 days, you'll be able to capture EVPs, you know, that are like sentences. And I'm just sitting here going, how can you guarantee anything? The spirits talk when they want to talk.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. That's a lot of money for an EVP course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, wow, you know, all I've done was self-taught and ask a lot of my friends in the paranormal community how to do things, you know, and kind of go back and forth. And even people that have been in the field, they're constantly learning new stuff or trying new programs or this, that, and other,
mm-hmm.
you know. There's not an exact science to it. So charge it $200, come on.
Well, for $200... this is what I would expect. I would expect you're going to give me a recorder to keep, give me a headphone to keep. You're going to put me in on how to run that particular recorder. You're going to give me the complete put down from start to finish on how to do EVP sessions properly, you know, with the time, you know, the when you go
mm-hmm.
in and you do your pausing in between your questions, do your, you know, your quick, short bursts. EVP sessions, you know, really practice going in and out of it and downloading it into the computer, training you on an audio program like Audacity, which everyone can get for free. I mean, from start
yeah.
to finish for $200. That, I think, for some people would be a really good value because you're getting the
yeah.
whole package. But I can't imagine what they're doing for $200. So.
Right.
I mean, at least you're walking
yeah,
away
I mean,
with $100 worth of equipment, you know.
It better be like a Zoom H1 for $200.
Yeah, really.
Bucks.
Now,
and then
you,
what makes them the authority? I mean, what is their qualifications in the background of this group on top of it? Is it just somebody who's trying to make a quick buck, or are they, you know, somebody that's pretty prominent in that region, you know, of the country that's been doing, you know, really advancing the area? You know, the EVP,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving EVPs and so forth. It's a lot of things. I mean, you just got to watch out. People are just, there are too many people trying to hang a shingle and run a credit card machine at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, being an owner and seeing these teams come and go, I didn't ask you this last time, so I want to ask you this. Are there, you know, I know being around other teams and whatnot and actually going on investigation with other teams, the spirits kind of pick and choose who they want to talk to, and they also pick and choose who they want to scare the hell out of, whether
mm-hmm.
it be that the team is provoking or the team, they just don't like their attitudes. Have you noticed that sometimes a team will come in there and they get great evidence, they have a great time, and then there's other times when a team comes in there, a different team, and something happens and it just scares the hell out of somebody on the team, and they're kind of done for the night.
I see that a lot, which is really interesting, on the public sites that I have, because you have a mixture of people come in, and you'll have groups. You'll have maybe 3 or 4 friends. You'll have maybe a small paranormal team. You'll have, you know, a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a husband and wife, or a couple, you know, girlfriends that are in there. So you'll have a hodgepodge of people. And that's a really good indication on what's going on in the building that night, because you do have different personalities, different styles, different levels of experience. And what I do find is the more upbeat and earnest and genuine you are, the better night you're
mm-hmm.
going to have. If you go in
mm-hmm.
and you're really either scared to death, really quiet, kind of so serious, you better take the stick out of your butt. seriously, all that stuff is going to play a big part on the level of activity you're going to get. Mostly they're going to be like, I'm out of here and I'm going to go talk to the pool group down the road, down the hall. And I know that sounds awful, but they, you know, these people that are in my building, and I do consider them people more than spirits, You know, they enjoy good conversation. They enjoy, you know, if you ask them something that they haven't heard before, rather than the typical, are you dead, are you stuck, you know, do you need help, do you want to, you know, blah, 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 blah. They don't want to hear that. This one guy, just recently, actually, it was really a very thoughtful conversation he had with Roy. He really must have listened to me on the tour when I was talking about the details of the different people there. And he picked up on the fact that Roy's father had left him there, dropped him off, and never came back to get him. And so Roy has sent his father a lot of letters and cards over the years, and they all came back unopened. And this particular attendee was saying that he was estranged from his father, and his father wasn't doing well physically. And should he, you know, did Roy ever regret? First of all, did Roy ever make amends with his father? And Roy said no. And did he ever regret it? And he said yes. And so he'd asked, do you think I should go and try to make amends with my father? And he said yes. And that's a real conversation that you would have with anyone sitting across from you, like a person sitting across from you. And I thought that was a very thoughtful, thought-provoking, personal line of questioning. And he went home, and he was thinking about really, he stopped and told me all this, he was really thinking about, you know, trying to make amends with his dad just based upon what Roy told him. And I thought that was really amazing. And if people would just really stop and start talking to these people like they are someone sitting across from you, I think they're gonna find a whole different world that will open up to them as investigators.
Oh, wow. Now,
I know
everything goes in, everything goes in waves. Not like, you know, with as far as teams coming and going, you know, within Rolling Hills Asylum, do you think paranormal is on the apex, or is it still growing?
I think the way the world is going right now, and the climate, and I mean the climate politically, the climate economically, just the complete climate of the planet, I think that it's going to completely keep growing. I don't think it's going to be after the surge it was back in the early 90s when Dave Schrader was able to do those wonderful events that he used to have, and it just were $300-$400, because people don't have that kind of money these days. They just don't. And because there are so many shows out there, when there was really only the one back then, people have more opportunity to be armchair educated at home without having to go to all these super expensive conferences. I think that it's opened up dialogue about paranormal and ghosts and spirits and other dimensional beings that most people would have shied away from having that conversation for fear of being ridiculed or embarrassed or thought crazy. So I think that it does open the door. I think a lot more people are doing it. I see a lot more people that have never done it before come through, a lot of brand new people that just are curious or have experiences in their own lives, and it's close enough they want to try it and come out and see what it's about. And I think that's great, because it helps preserve historical properties that wouldn't have the ability to stay open.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, even when I joined this this radio network like 2 years ago, and when I joined, I mean, it was like paranormal was a thing to do, you know, like, and it was just, there was a new team popping up every day, and it was like, it was crazy. But now, you know, now in retrospect, after 2 years, it's kind of like the teams that, there's teams that have come and gone and that I will never hear from again. But then there's those teams that have always been there and been doing this for like 20, 30 years that are still in it, you know. So it's pretty crazy to see like this downward shift to the people that have been in it for so long that are always going to be in it, as opposed to teams that just pop up overnight.
Yeah, there are a lot of brand new people that come in. Oh, this is like, you know, our first investigation or our second investigation, you know, and it's basically they've, you know, hung out at a hotel at some weekend and having that activity in their hotel room, and now they're on, now they're a team, you know. That happens quite a bit. But then you do get, I am seeing a lot of young meaning 18, 19-year-olds that are coming into it, and they happen to live within an hour of either direction of me, and they're coming back multiple times in a quick succession, which is great because they're very enthusiastic. They're asking a lot of questions. They're buying some equipment from me, which, you know, that's not why I'm excited. I'm excited because they really want to learn more, and they're very eager. And
that's pretty awesome.
I like that. Is it's awesome, and they take it seriously. So, there's one group I always have to mention because we took them on as volunteers. South Glen Falls Paranormal. They're out of South Glen Falls, New York, and they started coming here back in 2011. And they were 17. They were coming on my teen nights with their mother, and now they've been coming since 2011. To this past August, they've come here 20 times.
Five hours
in each direction. So that's 10-hour car drive, hotel nights, public hunts, and paying for private hunts. And they're young guys. They're 18, 20-year-old guys. And they're just so really professional, good, solid guys, and they're really dedicated in what they're doing. They put in the time, they put in the effort of putting together presentations and giving me copies of evidence, and they work really, really hard, and I'm very impressed on the dedication. I mean, I'm not the only place they've gone either. They've made multiple trips down to Waverly Hills and a lot of the other major locations around, but they just happen to really find that Rolling Hills has the best evidence and be truthful, we all love the guys, and so we kind of adopted them, and they adopted us, so it's really cool. But they're just, it's really nice to see the young ones that really want to be our ones. I feel like I'm old lady. The young ones that are really putting the time in and really putting the effort in. But I have to say, I sit back and I giggle because, there are all these events that are happening now, like the Scarefest, the Sister Place this weekend, and the Parafest in Pennsylvania and stuff. And I laugh because I don't know if you've ever been to any of the Dave Schrader events, but that's what I kind of broke my teeth on, and that's why I really started getting out in the circle, back in the day in the 90s and stuff. And that's the events that I hold all other events up to, And it's so funny because people haven't even heard, been to those events. A lot of the new people starting out, it cracks me up,
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, oh my God, I'm passing the torch. It's another era, Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, especially when you meet like a dedicated team and they're in it for all the right reasons. I mean, those are the teams I really respect. As opposed to those teams that pop up overnight and they get one crazy EVP and they're like, oh, everything's a demon. It's like, really? I can assure you that it's not, but yeah, I mean, it's cool to see people jumping into the field that are doing it for the right reasons,
I think having a paint on the front door, a big D and a circle with a line through it,
Yeah.
So that word isn't allowed.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of those teams that was a victim of a lot of stupid-ass drama, and it just pushed me over the edge to shut everything down for the time being. And I'm not going to stop what I'm doing because a lot of people's out there running their mouths and have more time to direct their energy towards myself and my friends on the team. Then, you're not going to stop me. I can paranormal investigate anytime I want. If I want to go to a cemetery, I can do it. You're not going to run me off. I'm just taking a break, and when I'm ready to come back, I'm going to come back, and there's not anything you can do about it. So, and I was in it for the right reason. Martin knows this, and that's just the way it is. So I'm enjoying my break, not having to deal with all that crap that's out there, and I'm hoping that once I do decide to to bring the team back and whatnot, that a lot of these dumbasses that are in it for the wrong reasons, that spend most of their time behind a computer blasting people, and they're gone because that's all they're doing. Because it's kind of, it reminds me too much of high school. And I'm 40 years old, and I damn sure don't want to relive high school. And that's what a lot of these folks out there are doing. And I just wish, you know, there was more, like you said, you know, talking about people that keep coming back to your facility. They're actually using your facility to better themselves and to understand not only the paranormal and the spirit world, but they're understanding what's going on your property. And that's what it's about. That, you know, they're trying to seek answers. And I wish more teams would do that. I know I have some friends. Martin, from time to time, goes to a location that I've been to. He goes there quite a bit, and so does some of the others. And they already know it's haunted, but they go there because they love the facility, and they try out new theories and new equipment there. And that's what you got to do. You know, you don't test it somewhere that you don't know anything about, or you don't test it in a residential case. You know, that's what these facilities are for.
I agree, 1,000%.
Oh man, could you imagine like going into a private residence and be like, "Oh yeah, I just made it this weekend, and it's supposed to rile up the spirits."
Now, how do I turn it on again?
Right. Sorry if this, you know, if this reeks your private life, but but I mean, that's what's great about facilities like this, is that you're able to test out theories, you're able to find out what works, what doesn't work, you know. I mean, even EVP wise, I mean, it's great for people that even just want to go and collect EVPs. I mean, because not everybody wants to go like the super scientific route and debunk everything and just. If you're willing to just go and record and have a good time, then that's what it should be.
Right. You know,
my only wish, as an owner, my only wish is that people would really follow through and send me their evidence. Because it's really difficult to track certain things that are happening in the building, to try to correlate it with any sort of, to try to, you know, draw a line through as, you know, from A to Z. To figure out if there's any pattern to some of this stuff, unless people
their
stuff, you know? I mean, everything from, you know, EVPs or the screaming lady or different door slammings or even with pictures, you know? There's somebody just posted on the official Facebook page, the Rolling Hills Facebook page, this big, solid fuchsia colored looking orb in the window, and it's pink, it's fuchsia. There's no getting around it. It's not translucent. It's fuchsia, and it's amazing. It's a, and I'm not an orb person. I mean, I'm really not. But this is pink, and it's solid, and it's fuchsia. It's not even light pink. It's fuchsia. It's like cranberry. It's so dark.
Nice.
And it's like, that's really cool, you know. And I've heard other people say, "Well, I found those." Well, send them to me so I can see it. You know, I want to see, is it in the same location? All right, now let's go back. Was this, you know, what time of year was that taken? Okay, is it this month? Great, what happened to be this week? Oh, my God, what's going on? I can't do any of that unless people share the information. We have notebooks out in different of the hot spots. We've had them out for a year. You know, here's a pen. Please write in. Past experience, current experience, whatever's happening, whatever you got. One page, maybe, has been written in.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that really goes back to the paranormal lab that you were talking about. I mean, it would be so cool to be able to turn that place into, like, this giant paranormal facility where, say, if somebody caught an EVP at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, you're able to track, you know, what was going on, what, you know, what was the phase of the moon, what was, you know, was there storms, was there not storms? You know, stuff like that.
Exactly. I mean, let's go way out on a fantasy limb here. If we had, you know, a laptop, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a laptop, it can be an old not too old, but, you know, a desktop computer on every floor of that building where, you know,
mm-hmm.
people are investigating, something happens, they go, it's right there. They just go, log into the spreadsheet, and then they go off on their way. You know, this is what just happened. We had, you know, we're in Shadow Hallway, and blah, 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 and we heard this noise, and we asked this question, and we got this and that and that and that, and they just write it out real quick, and they're gone. You know?
Yep.
And like you said, it is 10 p.m. on, you know, Friday the 13th, and it's overcast with a distant peak thunder. I don't know, making it up. But, you know, that would be really beneficial. I mean, we're not going to get anywhere collectively as a industry or as a field if we don't start taking that next step. Right now, we're just a bunch of yazoos running around getting cool EVPs and pictures. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. My millimeter is interesting, 3.5 right now, you know.
one thing I tried to do, we didn't always do it. I wish I'd have done it more looking back, but there was times where I got caught up trying to get everything, you know, the investigation together and pair people up and put them in different parts of the building and all that, that I forgot things. But sometimes I did this, and I wish I'd have done this more for people that have these, you know, that are owners of these buildings, was I set up a camera. Jeff will remember this. I'd set up a camera, and we would do an investigation. All the teams would be in different locations. We'd investigate for 45 minutes, and then we'd come back to home base, and we'd have a 15-minute break. In that 15-minute break, if you had any personal experience, you went and sat in a chair where this camera was, and you turned it on, and you get a video log of what just happened. You know, where you were, what happened, you know, if you knew the time, that whole thing. And that way we had a log of everything that happened, because not everything's going to be captured on video or audio. You know, you got to capture those personal experiences. And then I gave them to the building owner, you know, and said, look, here's our video log. These are some of the personal experiences that we had, you know, and then that way they had a log to compare to other people who had similar experiences.
Ingenious. That was brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And that's actually a fantastic idea, and that's something that I could do, is have a camera set up and a little room set up, and people could go in there and do that on a regular basis. I think that's brilliant. I hadn't even thought about that. It's almost like, oh, my God, this is going to really date me, going back to the original Big Brother season, or the first Big Brother season, where they had that little, I don't even know what they called it, the little diary room or whatever. It's just like that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a, for you, it's a way to, without spending a lot of money, have a way for the teams to log in their, you know, their personal experiences, and then you have a video document, you know, of what happened. And you could keep up with that, you know. And, you know, some teams it might be more in, you know, more information than others. Some of them will actually, I know when we had personal experiences, a lot of times we'd radio my dad at home base, and he had a sheet, and he would write down just briefly what we were telling him, you know, personal experience. I just saw a shadow figure in the hallway, and he would jot it down, and then he would timestamp it, you know, and he would look at his watch and timestamp it, so we actually had times, because I always thought that with times, especially in these buildings that multiple teams come in, I wanted to see if there was a pattern. At a certain time, a shadow figure appeared in this hallway every night.
Right.
Because human beings, we are a race of patterns. There are things that we all do in our lives that we repeatedly do on a day-to-day basis, whether it's get up to go to work, you know, and then when we're at work, we have certain jobs that we have to do every single day, you know. So I wanted to see if this was a pattern, if this was some sort of, a residual haunt that the spirit was doing on a constant basis.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Brilliant. You're making me think.
Yeah,
My mind is going.
I got that idea off of one of these reality shows myself, sitting in front of the camera and, you know, they do their little confessional or whatever it is. I was like, well, none of my team, they're pretty, they get caught up in the investigation. They don't want to write anything down. You know, I've heard investigators say, yeah, carry a little pad and a pen and write it down. Well, when you're caught up in the moment and you see something really cool, like a full-body apparition walk out in the hallway and then go through the wall, you don't have time to go, oh, wait a minute, I need to write this down.
I know.
You know, because A, you're going to be going, holy shit, and B, you're going to be going, now how in the hell did that happen, and all these other thoughts. So that's why I always had a 45-minute investigation time, and then the 15 minutes we came back, that's when the teens would start talking to one another and saying, man, this is what happened here, here, and here, and here. And I'd go up to them and say, hey, now go over and sit in front of the camera and say that same thing on the camera so that we have it on video.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's great. I think it's a great idea. It really is.
Yeah. Now, have you noticed, because we hear this theory a lot, and you know, I love talking to people that have buildings that have spirit activity in. Do you notice whether the seasons, like if there's more activity in the fall, the summer, or is there more activity when there's a thunderstorm? Or do you notice any of that since you've been there?
I have. And again, I walk that fine line because I don't want to scare people off from coming, not coming during certain times.
In my experience, though,
honestly, and I don't think it's really going to matter because people are going to have their own opinion about it no matter what. I think full moons are DEAD dead. DEAD, complete drop a pin and you'll hear it a mile away, dead. I think that's the biggest thing. I think that really makes a huge difference. I don't know why, but it's, you know, it's full moon. I'm like, all right, it's going to be a quiet night. It's so mm-hmm. odd. Trying to think what other patterns. I really think it almost depends upon the people more than it does the climate.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm finding. I'm really finding are the DVRs not a good thing. At all. I think the constant stream of the IR for 8-10 hours, not a good thing.
I think Jeff's team experienced something like this where they actually had spirits talk about how if once they had the IR on, they're like, I'm out of here. I'm not.
Yeah,
that was at Allen House.
It gets completely quiet. And a really good example is the South Glen Falls guys. I mean, they've been here for 20 times, public mm-hmm. hunts and the private hunts. And out of 20 times, I think twice they've set up DVRs, once on their own and once last winter we invited them up in December for the End of the World party. So it was like just the RHA people and the Suckland Falls guys who were doing the End of the World party. We set up a DVR system. Dead. Except, I have to tell you, that one night, Jack opened up his double doors three times right in front of us. That was crazy. And we got it on video. Wish the camera was a little closer, but oh my God, that was crazy. But overall, it is completely dead. Whereas if you go over the handheld stuff, within 3 to 5 minutes, you're getting, you know, voices, you're getting EVPs, you're getting experiences. It's a huge difference. Huge difference.
Yeah, and I was telling you, and I wish more teams would try this experiment. It's very simple. We did at the Allen House, Jeff. You remember the second time we were there. The spirits were getting kind of riled up, the fact that we had the DVR. And yep. I made an announcement to the, when I was in the house, I addressed all the spirits and said, look, I'll run it for 4 hours, and then after 4 hours, I'm turning the power off, and I'm giving your house back. And then we're going to investigate the last 4 hours with no DVR. And we had more activity happen when we shut the DVR down. And I wish more teams would try that and see if they're seeing the same kind of things happening. When they shut their DVR down, they're experiencing more things, and more things start happening.
Yep. And I tell that to the teams, but the privates, you know. I'll give them the tour. I'll show them all the hot spots, you know, where if I were them, if they were going to set up cameras, where they would, you know, where I would put it, you know, because they always ask me. And then when we get back, right before they start setting up, I'll say, not for nothing, this is my opinion, you know. And I said, I'm not going to tell you not to set them up, but this is what I'm experiencing night after night after night after almost 4 years. But you do what you'd like, but this is what I suggest. And, you know, they're free to do what they want. Some of them heed what I say. Some of them, you know, I'll say, set it up, and, you know, like you said, turn it on, turn it off for a while. Others will say, you know what, we're not even going to bother then. And then they'll come back, and they'll be like, oh, my God, the first 5 minutes, we got this, that, and the other thing. I'm so glad we didn't waste, you know, an hour setting up the equipment. I'm like, told you, you know. And then others will go and set up the equipment anyways, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm watching the watch. I'm like, oh, crap, I wish they just shut it off because I know it's kind of quiet. You know, and I know the building by now, and it's not that I'm trying to tell people what to do. I want you to enjoy your time and investigate in your style, but I want you to get the maximum of your visits as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've even noticed when I was, Jeff, when we were at the hospital in Pittsburgh, not Old South, but Pittsburgh, Texas, we were experiencing some things, and this one meter that I have, one of them, it's an old school just EMF meter that lights up. I have one in the case, but I hardly ever use it, you know, because I have the latest and greatest newer stuff. But one of the guys had this particular piece of equipment, this older piece, and it started going off, and it was responding directly to questions I was asking. And about two or three minutes into it starting to respond, my camera that I have that I never have to change the battery out of, because it's got a very big battery on it, and it'll last the entire investigation, and been through, you know, 50, 60 investigations without ever dying. It completely drained itself, and then we were having this direct conversation with this female doctor for about 30 minutes, and that was the longest session I've ever had talking to a spirit and having them direct respond on the equipment. You know, usually you can get maybe 5-10 minutes out of them, you know, and then boom, it just stops, right? But this particular spirit was responding for a good 30 minutes, you know, and it was just crazy because I had the owner, or not the owner, but the lady that ran the facility next to me, and she's from the area and knew a lot of people that worked there. So when I started using some of her information and what I was saying, you know, I was getting direct responses that was accurate with the history. And
that's awesome.
But it drained the battery on the camera where I could not record that session, you know, visually. It's like the spirit goes, well, if you want to talk to me, that camera's got to go.
Right, yeah. Or maybe they even needed that energy to help them communicate with you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, and I've told new groups a lot of the time, they're like, well, how do y'all do things? And I said, well, we try lots of things. I said, I basically set up it where every time we go back out, we try something different. And I said, one thing you need to try, I said, you don't necessarily have to use the stupid, because I call it stupid because I used it when I started, and I noticed that it just got boring. Asking the same old question, what's your name? You know, why are you here? That kind of crap. And
yep.
I told them, I said, two different things that we try. I said, we always do what we call dead time at the end of the 45 minutes. At 40-minute mark, for the last 5 minutes, call through the walkie and say, dead time. Everybody sits down, does not move, and runs over quarters and doesn't say a word and just listens to the building and see with their senses, you know, their sight, their sound, all that, and feeling, and just be quiet. Let the building talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten some great EVPs that way. And then the next thing, and you talked about it earlier, the spirits, if you're just sitting there talking to your buddy about whatever, the football game last week, whatever it might be, and not even paying attention to the spirits, not directing your conversation to them, they have a tendency to chime in every single time. They'll talk over you. They'll talk about, they'll comment on what you're talking about. It's like that's what they want to do. They want to be in a conversation like they were when they were alive. They don't want to have to unnecessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell that to people all the time. The biggest mistake or the biggest frustration that I have is when after the tour, people will discourse on their own, and I tell them, pick five or six rooms and concentrate on those rooms. It's 54,000 square feet. So you're not going to be able to effectively go through the whole building in one night to investigate. There's just no way. You know, you're just not going to do it. Inevitably, you get the people that go, okay, yeah, and they come back after an hour. We've been everywhere and nothing's happening. That means you've been everywhere for 2.5 minutes. So you need to sit, go back, sit your butt down, and relax. Stay there for at least a half an hour, you know. Get a feel, like you said, get a feel for the building. Talk amongst yourselves. Have a nice little conversation. Ask some questions, but ask interesting questions. Like I was saying before, you know, or maybe I didn't bring it up in this conversation, it was just Labor Day weekend. Would they have had a barbecue out here or a picnic? You know, if they had pie, did you cook the apples off the trees out here in the field for the pie? You know, ask interesting stuff, and you'll have the best results. You have to be patient. I always tell people, it's like watching paint dry. Ghost hunting is like watching paint dry. It's called hunting for a reason, you know, and you got to be really patient. You know, and the ones that just, you know, blow it. How long did you, you know, how long did you stay in the room? I don't know, about really long time, 10 minutes. And I literally laugh at them, and I shouldn't laugh at them, but I laugh at them. I'm like, that's not long enough. You have to go back. Go to a different room, sit there, get comfortable, and then just go from there. But people don't, they don't have patience. You know, they don't relax. They don't, like you said, let the building talk. I get the most funniest conversations myself when I'm in the green room. Like I said, that's like our lounge area, because I'm in there a lot when they're investigating, and I'll be like folding T-shirts or whatever the heck might be going on, and I'll slap on my recorder on my phone, and I'm always getting funny stuff. There's always somebody in there making fun of me. You know, there's a couple guys in there always like, touch her now. You know, like, you know, they're just funny. They're just, there's always interesting things, and they're talking about me or talking about what I'm doing, or if I'm changing batteries in a light on one of the display cases and I'm struggling with it, they'll say, hey, turn the batteries around. Like, you know, that's why it's not going on. You know, they're very helpful, actually, you know. But right. They don't relax enough to get that kind of feedback, and it's too bad. They're amazing. I love my people. They're really funny.
Yeah. You know, I've done this before, and I think Jeff has too. We've actually, depending on the location and the time period on the history, I might ask them, you know, their opinion on, because you can always get a response, because, you know, they were human too, and we all have our opinions when it comes to politics. So I always ask them, you know, if it's, say it's during the 1860s, I'll say, well, Did you like Abraham Lincoln? Did you like what he did? You know, and I'll get responses because that's something relating to them. And, you know, they're going to voice their opinion on things like that. And they feel comfortable. You got to get them to make that. It's just like if you meet a stranger, you got to get that person comfortable with you before you ask them more intimate questions about their own personal lives.
Exactly.
You know, and sometimes I'll tell them, I'll say, Jeff's over on the third floor. Hey, if you would, go over there and slap him on the ass, you know, and make a funny comment, and I might get an EVP of somebody laughing. Or in Jeff's case, we had one particular spirit that spent the majority of time making fun of him through the EVP recorder. So, yeah. Remember, Jeff, he called that dude called you heavy? I got an EVP of him calling you heavy. And you were putting the cameras together, and you didn't know where anything went, what IR went, what camera, and the spirit goes, oh, shit.
Yeah,
Jeff's trying to
ignore
me right now.
They're so hilarious, but people don't realize, you know, it's a shame, you know, that they don't realize that if they just relax and have fun and act like you're, you know, you're getting to know someone in their house, that they'd have a much better experience. You guys are going to have to come up, because I like your style. You should come up and investigate.
Yeah.
You should make the trip up here, because it's really nice when people can get it and really, really relate to them as people and not just, you know, this abstract notion of what they are.
Yeah, you know, what? It's good the way, like, my style is, and Jeff's, and even Martin's, but the downside, kind of, is they get so comfortable with us, they come home with us and hang out.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, I had I hardly ever fire anything up in my house, but I know there's some spirits here, and I know one in particular had followed me from that house we talked about earlier, and that was 2 years ago that I went, and he is still here, and I fired up my K2 the other night, had nothing better to do, and I was like, I'm going to see if he's still here. Fired it up and started, oh, I know what it was. I was watching Paranormal Witness, and the actual home that we investigated with the owners, they were on. So I was like, wait a minute. Their voices are now coming through the TV and in my house. This particular spirit is from there. He knows those people. So I'm going to see if this triggers him to come out and talk. Sure enough, fired a K2 up, and I asked him if he was there, and I said, I hit pause. I said, you recognize that person there? Boom, K2 went off. And I was like, damn, he's still here.
Wow. That's funny. Well, I know a lot of times spirits do come and go. They'll go and they'll travel and they'll come back. They'll go to different places. We've actually done experiments with that and sent them to, you know, through spirit boxes. We've been doing spirit box sessions, and we'll send them to a location during the conversation to another spirit box in a different location, and then they'll talk through their spirit box and we'll send them back to Rolling Hills. That's really interesting. I mean, they travel in like a nanosecond. When asked what it feels like, they said it feels like a tickle in their stomach.
Huh.
When they're traveling. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, because we did one where I was, we were actually doing a live radio broadcast on this show, and I was at the investigation, and Jeff and Martin were at their homes, and Martin's in Dallas. I was in Arkansas. And they were listening on air, and I was asking the spirit to try to, because me and my fellow investigator, we were feeling a presence, you know, goosebumps, it was getting cold, I knew something was there. So I was like, hey, will you light this K2 meter up to give us some confirmation you can hear us and you're here with us? Martin had fired up one of his pieces of equipment over at his house in Dallas, and when I said that, his meter went off.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that night.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we were actually able to, ask questions. This was on the air, if I'm not mistaken, but
yeah.
I was actually able to ask questions and have their meters go off, and they were able to make my meter go off, which is pretty crazy because I don't really consider my house haunted, and in all honesty, at that point in time, I had to do the radio show for my car because I have a dog that doesn't like me being on the phone. And so I was sitting in the car with my meter, and sure enough, that meter went off. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think that they can move pretty quickly. it seems like it's in it. Well, the way I like to explain what I tell other people, do you remember that episode, again, not to reference a television show, but of Ghost Hunters when they were at St. Augustine and that spirit went right across the lighthouse really quick?
Mm-hmm.
It was like an effect. I mean, they really do move that, but they can move that fast. They can just travel like in a nanosecond. It's pretty impressive.
We had a medium on our team, and we also got this on EVP recorder. We asked the spirit that we were talking to how they go from one, because what we found out was the house in Arkansas has, and this goes to the one Martin's familiar with, the Pride House, there's some correlation between the two because they were catching EVPs at the Pride House of a woman named Rebecca, which is the owner of the Allen House in Arkansas. Well, to go even further, they were getting a woman that was in a blue dress, psychics and whatnot, over at the Pride House, but they couldn't figure out who that was because that didn't correlate with the history. Then we go to the Allen House, and this same woman was there. And we ask, were you the woman that was been seen at the Pride House? And she said, yes. So we're like, this spirit is going from one house to another. And when we asked how you do it, they said all they got to do is think about it.
Yeah.
You're there. Boom.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're experiencing, too. It's really interesting. I'm glad to hear other people are doing experiments like that and trying to find out if they can travel and how it feels like for them to travel and how fast it takes them to travel. Not many people, in my experience, are asking those kinds of questions.
No. And, you know, one thing that I try to ask, and I told this to a team that I had on the show about a month ago out of Ohio. I said, try doing this sometimes, too. We've done this. We're all out there trying to find answers. What's going on the other side? But how many times have we actually asked them that? We're so into personalizing that spirit and finding out their information and why they're there. Why don't you ask them if they can tell you anything that's going on that side? You know, ask them if they've run into somebody that over there that has died more than once. You know, that goes to the theory of reincarnation. You ask them stuff like that.
Have you had any luck getting any answers?
Huh?
Have you had any luck getting any answers?
Well, I know for a fact that when my girlfriend of 3 years passed away and my team member that can see everybody, you know, see spirits, she showed up and started giving me some information, about her death and whatnot. She also started giving us information about that side, and she said she ran into a gentleman that had died twice. And that angels walk amongst us, appearing as a human, in order to, you know, help people out. Well, that goes back to the theory, or not the theory, the stories, hundreds of stories, thousands of stories of people talking about, you know, they run out of gas on the side of the road and they turn around and there's some dude there
trying
to help them. And then after they help, they turn around to thank the person and the person's gone.
Right.
You know, those kind of things. So, yeah, and what we find out is they start telling you stuff. And when they give you, say, too much information or they're going too far with the information, it's like somebody, a higher power, pulls the plug on them and they stop talking.
Right. Yes, we find that too.
Yeah. It's like they can give you little bits and pieces, but they're not allowed to give you the whole enchilada.
Yeah, because you kind of have to go through that process on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know, we're finding the same thing.
No, yeah, that particular team, they never think about that. And I said, yeah, try doing some of that, too. Just ask them, you know, get them comfortable with you, and then try to see if you can get any information out of them. You know, how do they travel? How do they do this? How do they move an object? Ask them and see if they'll tell you anything, you know?
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is to ask if they have any questions for me, like, you know, because you never know.
I do that, too. They haven't ever asked me anything. I'm really kind of bummed by that. Probably because I talk so much anyways, and they know everything about me.
Or you could be like Jeff did on one investigation when he was in a room by himself, and he said, have you ever made love to a 3-foot midget?
Oh, God.
I listened to that recorder, and I was like, what is Jeff doing?
Did he get an answer?
No.
That's a really freaky question. You're lucky they didn't say, well, have you? Or has it everybody? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, there's lots of things that I wish a lot more teams would do with that, you know, instead of, like you said, and see, you guys are even, you know, trying to do a little bit of that too. And that's the only way we're going to learn anything, you know. Especially at your place, these spirits are like, another weekend. Wonder what kind of jackasses are coming in here this weekend, you know. They're going to ask me the same crap the last group asked.
Well, I always try to give everybody a pep talk, you know, and both the spirits and the attendees that come through. You know, when I walk in the door, I'm always like, hi, how are you? It's, you know, Thursday night or whatever, and we have this many people coming, and oh, so-and-so's back tonight. They haven't been back here in a while. I just give them a whole lowdown what's happening. Sometimes we'll get attendees that are coming from other locations. You know, they actually run or in-house team for other properties. And I'll say, you know what, you got to, like, really crank it up tonight because you got to show up that team because we got to prove that Rolling Hills is better than the other place. I like giving them a little cheerleading squad. And then on the back end with the attendees, too, I do the whole, like, I go through the whole thing, you know, about how to do the, you know, what you should do during EVPs, you know, and the whole thing and different questions like we were talking about earlier. And I try to give them at least some guidance because it's very easy for me to forget that a lot of these people have never done it before. I always ask them in the beginning when they're filling out the paper, who's been here before, who's done an investigation before, where have you been, is this your first time, you know, and get a pulse on what's going on, especially on the public night, which is really important because you have so many mixed levels of people in there. But, I mean, I do have a lot, knock on wood, a lot of repeat people. I'm very fortunate, a lot of repeat people.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. They're coming back for a reason. And it's certainly not me. Mm-hmm. So.
That's awesome. You got anything coming up there at Rolling Hills?
Well, October is coming. Normally in October we do the full-on haunted house with the fog and the actors. But truth be told, last year, joking. We had Hurricane Sandy, and out of 13 nights, I had to close 2 nights because I had, a lot of my volunteers are first responders, you know, police, fire, nurses, blah, blah, blah. So they weren't sure if they were being called in or called out of the area. So I had to close down 2 nights for that because I didn't have enough people. We had 2 great nights, and then we got rained out for the remainder of the time. It was really slow. So I thought, you know what, I've never done the 3.5 years I've been here, straight hunts and tours through October. It's always been a haunted house type of thing. So we're going to do straight-on tours and hunts this year and see how it goes. We are bringing in a couple of mediums during some of the tours that will be backing me up on the tours and wandering around the building on the public hunt because we're going to get a lot of the newbies that are just trying to do something for Halloween. And so they're not going to know how to investigate or they're not going to understand what's going on. So the mediums are going to be there to help guide them a little bit more, plus our regular RHA crew members will be going through and helping them a little bit. They're 3-hour cycles, we're calling them. So you get a 3-hour cycle for $30, and you get the tour, and then you get to wander around for an hour and a half or 2 hours on your own. And we're doing multiple loads a night. So And then we have some private hunts and stuff coming up. So October hopefully will be really interesting. It's going to be a different feel. Half of us are really sad that we're not playing with a lot of fake blood and guts and stuff this year. But, you know, it'll be another year we can do that.
Yeah. Or you could just have somebody just running down the hallway all of a sudden covered in blood. During the tour.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. If I'm marketing it as a real, you know, we're doing the real authentic stuff, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I know.
But then people will think that we, you know, that we rig things
up, yeah,
every year, you know, every time during the year, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what I'm really bummed out about is that the spirits really get in on it. When we're doing the haunted house, the activity is crazy in the building. During the haunted house, it's really unbelievable. The actors, which are all my volunteers that have been in the building forever, really start getting uneasy. They get creeped out feeling. They get a lot of high energy. They're seeing full on people walking around the building that aren't, you know, the shadow people or spirit people. It really gets off the hook. So it's going to be a different energy this year. We'll see how it goes with just the straight tours and hunts, but I think that the spirits kind of were having fun with the scaring the people, honestly. So
yeah, they were like, you think you're scary? Watch this.
Yeah. So but we'll see what happens. But maybe they'll, I don't know, it'll be interesting. I would like to see, here's a fantasy, I would like to see a spirit or a shadow person come out, but have them look like they're wearing a Halloween costume. I just thought of that. That would be like so freaking awesome. That'd be like the most awesome thing in the world. You know, you have like,
well,
you have a ghost standing there at the end of the hallway with a Dracula costume on and their fangs on. Oh my god, that'd be hilarious.
Maybe that'll happen. Maybe the spirit's like, you know what? We're gonna help you out when the tours start.
See, but it would be my luck that, you know, I asked for that, and then I go around the corner, and the clown is standing at the end of the hallway, you know.
Yeah, clowns are scary. Last year we had a Santa Claus with a clown mask with a mohawk. That guy was scary. He was a scary Santa. It was the scariest clown Santa I've ever seen. And then this is how twisted I am. The very last night I should be going to hell in a handbasket, let me tell you. We had a nun, pregnant nun, and I stuck a hypodermic needle in her pregnant belly. And she was walking up in the hall. Yeah, I know, I should go to hell in a handbasket. I just went way off the deep end on that one.
if you really want to scare people, just take Jeff and have him stand outside.
Oh, that's mean.
Hey.
Oh, you're awake now.
Barely. I heard my name.
I knew if I said something about Jeff that he would finally wake up.
That's wrong, man.
I know. I'm giving Jeff hell because he had a root canal Friday.
Oh, no. That's terrible. I'm sorry. He's on Vicodin. That's why he's not talking.
No, it's just past my normal bedtime.
p.m.
Are you calling yourself a ghost hunter? You should just be getting up now.
I I go to work at 7:45 in the morning.
Jeff, I'm going to work. I have to be at my job at 7:45, and I'm still awake.
Yes, but you're not dealing with teenagers.
No, I'm dealing with grown-ups that still act like teenagers.
Yeah, that's you don't have to deal with their parents, though, so you're good on that.
Oh, man. Well, you got any... websites, anything that anybody can read about Rolling Hills if they want to come check out the facility?
Yeah, of course. It's rollinghillsasylum.com. The Facebook page is the official Rolling Hills Asylum Facebook page. It's kind of a long one, but simple if you think about it. And, yeah, I mean, we've got all the tours and hunts are on the calendar all through November. I haven't put up December yet. And it probably won't get up January until the middle of November. And then we'll have the January, February, March. We are open year-round. If you come in the winter, it's still very active. It's very cold. People have to dress like they're going snowmobiling. I usually wear about 4 pairs of long underwear, which comes in handy because I'm a klutz. When I fall down the stairs, I just bounce. That's really bizarre. I should have had it on Friday night. I was hanging up something in the green room, and I was standing on a chair, and I missed. And I went flying onto the floor, and I was so embarrassed. There was one of us here in the green room, and my left knee blew up like a balloon. And I have some ice. I put some ice on it. And I have to tell you, I literally said, if there's any doctors or nurses in here right now, could you please give me a healing because I don't have any insurance. The next day, yesterday morning, my knee was completely fine. I mean, it was so blown up. I put pictures on Facebook. People are saying, oh, you should go to the doctors. It doesn't look very good. It was, like, really bad. Completely fine. Like, it was really strange. It should have been. It was very strange.
Huh.
And it was a cement floor I landed on. I mean, it looked horrible. Well, I don't know. That's another whole conversation we'll have to have. I really think that they can give us healing. Because think about Reiki. Reiki is energy work and energy healers. We're energy. We revert back to energy. We think spirits are energy. Why can't they give us healing?
Yeah, you're right. And what's real weird about that is, not to talk about TV shows like we have, but I watch Ghost Adventures to see what latest and greatest equipment they work with. And they got this. Which, Martin, it's kind of ironic because you and I talked about this way before they started using this, but they use an Xbox Kinect.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching the last couple episodes, and I was like...
You saw when they were in that hospital, and Nick laid down on the gurney because they had a dummy in there, and while no investigator was in there, the Kinect went off, and it formed a body figure. And it was actually working on the dummy. You could see one arm was holding the IV pole that was sitting there next to the bed, and it was like looked like it was working on the dummy. And then Nick saw it. They saw that footage, so then Nick went and laid down on the same bed. And right when this figure appeared again on the camera, Nick felt something punch his stomach. And what's weird is he grabbed the exact same spot that figure was punching. So it was like the spirit of a nurse or a doctor was trying to work on him. So it's kind of, it kind of goes with that. You know, they have energy. Why can't they heal?
And what was the piece of equipment?
It's a Xbox Kinect.
An Xbox Kinect? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, they actually developed a computer program to take the points of the human body, which is like the shoulders, the head, and the arms.
Yeah. And, I saw that. Actually, I saw that link on Schrader's website a while ago. I saw that video. And it was very cool. I didn't know it was an Xbox, so that's...
Yeah, the Xbox Kinect actually puts out like a million little IR lasers all over the wall. But here's, you know, the weird thing, and the thing that actually got me to bring it up to Outlaw like 2 years ago was that one of my friends was playing Xbox, and he just bought the Kinect when it first came out, and then he calls me up the next day. He's like, dude, my Xbox, like, somebody waved the sign in on my Xbox, and I was laying down. It's like my Xbox just turned itself off because it picked somebody up. I was like, that's crazy, man. Yeah, I mean, the IR capability of it is actually able to pick up whatever is willing to, you know, come through, I guess.
Well, that's very cool. Well, I got to go and put that on my volunteer page and see who can bring one in to the building.
Yeah, that would be cool. I know people can actually pick up the little Kinect piece now for pretty cheap nowadays, and
And if I'm not mistaken, the program is out there for laptops and computers, so it shouldn't be too hard to get.
Yeah, I'd like to get that in the building in the worst way, actually.
Yeah, because then it would actually pick up if some kind of spirit walked by it, it would actually show them, you know, in a figure form. Because Bill Chappell first came up with it, and it was an earlier episode of Ghost Adventure. I think it was the end of last season, and they were in a place, and he had just developed this, you know, using the Kinect, and on the video screen, the figure appears, and Zach said, "Hey, can you wave at us?" And I'll be damned if that damn figure on the screen didn't wave back at him. And they had another camera set up where you could see clearly there was nobody in front of that camera.
Yep.
Yeah,
I want one of those right now.
Anybody listening that has one, they want to bring it out to me, that'd be a really good thing.
Definitely, and I hope that a lot of people come out for your tours and well, all the time, but particularly in October since you're doing this for the whole month of October.
Yeah, it would be really nice. Winter is really hard on me. It's very difficult. It's a very long winter, and I always hold my breath. Because the bills don't stop, even though Jack Frost comes to pay a visit, the banker doesn't really care. And so, yeah, October I'm really hoping will be good so I don't have to be so scared during the winter.
Right.
And I hope the winter is very mild. Do your little weather dance, because bad weather is not my friend anymore. I always, when it rains really bad, I hurt for the building. When it snows really bad, I hurt for the building. So I hope it's a mild winter. You guys always have mild winter where you guys are. You have no winter.
we occasionally have a week of just crazy-ass ice, snow, that kind of thing, but as a whole, no. And I wish we had more of the winter because I get tired of the heat.
A whole week? Oh, wow. That must be so hard on you.
No, I'm originally from Ohio, so I'd rather, I particularly like the cold weather a little bit more, and I'm used to, you know, snow on the ground months and months and months of times, you know, and you don't get that here. Sometimes it's still blistering hot in December. You know, like going outside,
man.
sweating your face off, and you're like, damn it, I want it to get colder, you know?
Yeah, no, I've never said that in my whole life. Never. Not even living in Indiana, I've never said that. So,
we'll send some of our warm weather up to you.
Oh, I hope so. Put it in a bottle. Forget about that ghost in a bottle. Send warm weather in a bottle.
All
well,
right.
Thanks,
well,
I really appreciate
Sharon,
So I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's been really a great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, not a problem. I like I told you last week, you're always welcome to come on our shows, and we support you and your facility and what you guys do out there.
Well, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And like I said last week, great conversation, good questions. I got a great idea from all of you about setting up the video camera. So I think it's a great conversation. It was a wonderful night. So thank you.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too. Send up the warm weather.
All righty. Have a good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Sharon Coyle of Rolling Hills Asylum.
Now, she was pretty
cool
fun to talk to, man.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like I said, I had a great conversation last week and again tonight, and good things going on over there, you know, and it's not every day to have somebody that loves the building as much as she does, and, you know, being a paranormal investigator herself, you know, just trying to make ends meet to keep this facility going.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's sad to watch building after building just slowly start disappearing, you know. I had heard recently, you know, the Pride House had burned down, and someone had told me that they're going to rebuild it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you hear about that? Man,
I heard a little bit about it.
I was there for the investigation for Jefferson House and Jefferson Hotel and the Pride House. And, man, like, I kid you not, we were, you know, I was still going through evidence, and then I found out that Wednesday morning that it had burned to the ground. Like, it was a total loss, you know what I mean? And what was crazy is that we were actually the last group to investigate there, and it's just like, man, for me it was so surreal because I was like, I was just there, you know? But, yeah, she's going to try to rebuild it to the original standing that it was. It's just going to take years and years to get it there, but that's her plan, is to get it back to the way it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame when things like that happen. You know, I don't like seeing it happen.
Oh, right?
Kind of places. Yeah.
And, you know, the worst part about all that is that she actually had looters come out and try to steal stuff from the you know, remains of the house. I was like, really?
Really?
How though? Yeah, like people were trying to like take stuff. People would send their emails saying, hey, can you look through all the debris and find this for me because I want it. It's like, really? Come in. Can you not get a life, you know?
Right. Wow. Well, great show tonight, guys. Jeff's half asleep. Does that mean, Martin, I can play some Bruno Mars?
Yes, you can.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Right. Oh, he's awake. I knew it would work. So you don't want to hear any Bruno Mars. He's going to be playing at the Super Bowl.
Not on my TV.
But, yeah. Oh, man. Well, I don't have a guest currently booked for next week for sure, so we'll have to figure out. Might have to start going back to the first year we started the show and revisit some of our past guests.
It's been two years since
we've talked to them, so
we
why
should
not? You know?
We should get Jeremy back on. He's pretty funny to talk to.
I told you need to work on him. I've invited him several times, and he said he'd get back to me, and then I guess he forgets. So,
all right.
I've been trying to get that fool back on for a while.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah, we'll work on that this week, booking a guest. Tuesday, tomorrow is Full Spectrum Unleashed. If you didn't know, they changed their name. It's no longer Into the Darkness. It's Full Spectrum Unleashed. It's more raw, kind of like what we do sometimes. We get kind of crazy on here. They get crazy on Monday night. And then Wednesday is actually Full Spectrum Radio, and they do more interviews and whatnot. Last week, they did a whole... If you missed it, on 9/11, they had firefighters and police officers call in and did a whole thing for 9/11. So if you missed that episode, check it out on Archives. Really great episode. And Terrify, on Tuesday, we have a group of young ladies that have a magazine. It's called Coffin Cuties Magazine. It's kind of I think you guys would like it. It's kind of different, you know. Ladies are kind of dressed kind of like they're in a horror movie, and they're doused in blood, but they're all really good-looking women, and it's a bunch of photography of that and whatnot, and they might even help sponsor the URN radio network, so we might have our very first sponsor of the network.
Nice.
Yeah, so that might help out a little bit. And so they're going to be on Tuesday night. So check us out. And then Full Spectrum Wednesday, Ghost Raps Thursday, Paranormal Access Radio Friday. That's it on the promos. Jeff, are you still awake to play the music to get us out of here?
Sure, I'll find something.
If not, I'm ready to press the button for Bruno Mars.
No. You are not.
Come on.
Here we go. All right, we'll finish up AC/DC. Good night, everybody.
Good night.